In the sweltering summer of 1854, death swept through London's Soho district with terrifying speed. Within days, nearly 700 residents were dead, victims of a cholera outbreak so devastating it would reshape our understanding of disease and transform modern cities forever. At the heart of this medical mystery stood two unlikely heroes, Dr. John Snow, a physician from humble origins, and Reverend Henry Whitehead, a sociable local clergyman.
Together, they would challenge the scientific establishment and uncover the truth about how disease spreads through urban environments.
Their detective work produced what Bill Gates has called one of his favorite books of all time, not just for its gripping narrative, but for what it reveals about how scientific thinking evolves in the face of overwhelming evidence.
London in 1854 was a city of stark contradictions, the wealthiest metropolis on earth, yet drowning in its own waste. Each night, night soil men removed human excrement from cesspools for a shilling, earning twice what skilled laborers made. Yet these four-man teams couldn't keep pace with a city of 2.4 million lacking modern sewage systems. As London expanded beyond medieval boundaries, waste management collapsed. Cellars filled with excrement, yards became covered in filth, and dung heaps festered openly. Water closets, which increased tenfold between 1824 and 1844, worsened the problem by flushing more water into cesspools without proper sewage connections. The streets teemed with both human and animal waste. Smithfield Market regularly sold 30,000 sheep in 2 days. Residents converted rooms into stables, some even winching animals into attics. One documented case showed a man keeping 27 dogs in a single room. Ironically, cholera has a simple cure: water with electrolytes. Though British doctor Thomas Lotta discovered this treatment in 1832, his insight was lost among countless proposed remedies in Victorian newspapers, a strange historical overlap between mass communications and pre-specialized medical science.
When cholera struck, it transformed healthy humans into shrunken, blue-skinned corpses within days. Modern science now reveals how this occurs. The culprit, Vibrio cholerae, is a curved bacterium with a rotating tail for propulsion. Infection requires ingesting millions of organisms, seemingly impossible, yet 10 million bacteria per milliliter of water is barely visible. A clear-looking glass could contain 200 million V. cholerae. Inside the body, bacteria mount a two-pronged attack, reproducing explosively in the small intestine, forming dense mats hundreds of layers thick, then injecting a toxin that disrupts the intestine's water balance. Victims can lose 30% of body weight within hours. For victims like the Broad Street tailor, it began with mild stomach upset before progressing to vomiting, muscle spasms, and crushing thirst. The disease's hallmark was the evacuation of vast rice water stool. Most cruelly, victims remained mentally alert until near death, fully aware of both their physical agony and impending mortality, a spirit looking out in terror from a corpse.
As death swept through Soho, two men emerged as crucial investigators. John Snow, 42, had risen from a Yorkshire laborer's son to become a respected physician. His experience during the 1831 cholera outbreak suggested the disease stemmed from social conditions rather than innate susceptibility. Though taciturn, Snow was exceptionally observant, with remarkable memory. His fame came primarily from pioneering work with anesthesia, including administering chloroform to Queen Victoria during childbirth in 1853. Henry Whitehead, a sociable 28-year-old clergyman, was well known throughout Soho. Oxford-educated, but preferring tavern debates to solitary study, he often claimed he got more good out of men than books. He combined liberal politics with conservative morals and an empirical, open mind. In early September, as Whitehead made his rounds discussing current events with locals, residents still gathered at the Broad Street pump for its renowned cold water. Neither man yet realized this beloved pump would soon connect them in a historic investigation. Even more damaging than ineffective treatments was the prevailing miasma theory. Edwin Chadwick, London's sanitation reform leader, claimed, "All smell is, if it be intense, immediate acute disease with catastrophic consequences." Ironically, Chadwick's reforms worsened Thames pollution. While plans for expanding London's sewage system stalled, the Metropolitan Commission of Sewers eliminated 30,000 cesspools in 6 years without creating alternatives, diverting all waste directly into the river. The supreme irony: just as Snow developed his waterborne theory, Chadwick was building a system delivering cholera bacteria directly to Londoners. When cholera returned in 1848-1849, deaths rose in perfect correlation with increasing river waste, killing nearly 15,000 people. The first major act of modern public health had effectively poisoned the city. As the outbreak peaked, Snow began methodically investigating, studying patterns of lives and deaths across neighborhoods, though unaware of Vibrio cholerae, recently discovered but ignored by Filippo Puccini. Snow analyzed mortality data and found deaths clustered around the Broad Street pump, with revealing exceptions. 10 deaths outside his boundary had clear connections to Broad Street water, including a Hampstead family who had the refreshing water delivered. The exceptions proved equally telling. The St. James Workhouse's 535 residents suffered only 2 deaths despite proximity. They had their own water supply. The Lion Brewery workers remained healthy because they drank beer, while the Ellie Brothers factory saw numerous cases from workers drinking pump water. Despite skepticism, the Board of Governors voted to remove the pump handle on September 8, 1 week after the outbreak began. Snow's revolutionary map showed cholera deaths as black bars clustered around the pump. This visual innovation transformed an amorphous cloud of death into a clear pattern radiating from a single point, making complex microbial concepts immediately comprehensible. Henry Whitehead, initially skeptical, conducted his own investigation using his local connections. He tracked down 497 former residents who had fled, discovering forgotten connections to the Broad Street pump. His calculations showed drinking from the well increased infection odds sevenfold. Whitehead's breakthrough came when he discovered baby Lewis at 40 Broad Street had fallen ill before the outbreak. The infant's soiled diapers had been emptied into a cesspool near the well. A second excavation revealed decayed brickwork with swampy soil between them, the transmission route Snow had predicted. Though the Vestry Committee's report vindicated Snow's theory, Benjamin Hall's Board of Health stubbornly clung to miasma theory despite evidence. When London's Great Stink of 1858 failed to produce any disease outbreak, it further contradicted miasma theory, but Snow had already died of a stroke at 45. Engineer Joseph Bazalgette subsequently built 82 miles of sewers using over 300 million bricks, an engineering marvel still functioning today. When Whitehead died in 1896, a portrait of Snow hung in his study. He lived to see London fend off the 1892 Hamburg outbreak and his friends' theories vindicated. Little remains of 1854 Soho, yet today's neighborhood still buzzes with entrepreneurial energy. Their story reminds us that scientific truth and courage to challenge established thinking can save countless lives.